6:15.
Establish a Smart Cities Steering Committee to create a citywide governance structure for the city's Smart Cities work.
Colleagues, since 2014, the City of Portland has been actively seeking to leverage innovative technologies and the uses of data to meet cities' goals around equity, transportation, sustainability, climate change, and disaster recovery and resiliency. In 2016, Portland was one of seven finalist cities in the United States Department of Transportation's Smart Cities Challenge, and that was an effort to mobilize folks from across the city and across the region to pursue so-called Smart Cities solutions to address some of our most pressing transportation issues. Since that time, we've moved forward on a number of the ideas in the Smart Cities Challenge proposal. We've also started to look at how we can broaden this beyond just transportation and look at emergency management, energy, civic engagement, and other areas of opportunity. For these efforts to succeed, we think it's very important that we coordinate this work across different bureaus here at the City of Portland, and that we identify our shared goals and our cases for technology, as well as developing centralized systems, managing policy development projects, and looking for joint funding opportunities. This resolution seeks to identify a Smart City Steering Committee that would be made up of representatives from multiple bureaus as well as commissioner's office in offices, including the mayor's office. The committee will be led by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability in partnership with the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the Bureau of Technology Services, and the Office of Community Technologies. Representatives of these three bureaus are here to outline our Smart Cities work to date, as well as talk about how the steering committee could help guide these efforts moving forward. We have Susan Anderson, Leah Treat, Jeff Baer, and Kevin Martin are all going to give us presentations here today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor, Council. Susan is actually out sick today, so I'm going
to read
her remarks. She wishes she could be here.
Thank you.
I'm Kevin Martin. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I manage the technical and smart cities teams there. Thank you for having us. So Susan's remarks. So we are here today to establish a Smart City Steering Committee. The mayor asked the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to lead this effort and build on our role as a convener and facilitator for many citywide efforts. In particular, this group will really help us to collaborate and be proactive and help leverage each other's efforts. There are so many data, technology, and smart cities efforts among the bureaus right now, but also with PSU, other universities, other cities, and the private sector and other organizations. And this is a great opportunity to bring it all together. Over the past couple of years, as we've looked at similar efforts by other communities, we've mostly seen a focus on technology, infrastructure, and some city services. We hope to broaden that perspective to include equity, resiliency, affordability, and the impacts of climate change. We all know that technology is changing rapidly. It continues to be transformative, and it's not just our phones and gadgets. Technology is affecting how and where we live. It's affecting how we get around, and even where and what kind of work we do. So I'm really excited to have this opportunity to work with my colleagues on this. The bureaus have actually been meeting informally for more than a year. I think formalizing the committee will make us more efficient and provide us with more opportunities for partnership with the private sector. With that, I'll turn it over to Director Treat from the Portland Bureau of Transportation for her remarks.
Great. Thank you so much, Mayor and Commissioners. This resolution is an important step forward in our efforts to take advantage of the most advanced technologies to make our streets safer and to make it easier for Portlanders to get from place to place. Coordination and collaboration have been key to our success so far. We were a Smart City finalist in large part because we assembled a broad coalition of public and private sector partners from across our region. And thanks to this collaboration, we were able to offer a compelling vision of a safer, more efficient, and above all, more equitable transportation future for our city. Since the conclusion of the Smart City Challenge, we have been building on those relationships as we implement central parts of our Smart City vision. We have, for example, These relationships have been an important source of information and expertise as we have followed the Mayor and Commissioner Saltzman's directive to develop a policy framework for introducing autonomous vehicles into the city, and we're going to be coming to you next week with the key elements of this initiative. This truly is a watershed moment for our city. We are continuing to grow at a rapid clip, and while this growth has fueled our local economy, it is also putting significant strains on our system. And we need to ensure that the safety of our consumers and users is adequately protected and a top priority as we integrate the latest innovations into our system. No one bureau or office can achieve these goals, and we need to work together. And that's why I'm supportive of the resolution. It puts in place an efficient and effective framework for citywide collaboration, and I believe it will ensure that we innovate faster and better together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Technology Services, and we, too, are here to support the adoption of this resolution and have been actively engaged in these discussions over the past year, as Kevin alluded to, about the Smart Cities initiative. And providing this framework for this will establish the necessary structure to strategically move this forward in a very focused manner. And we in BTS, or Technology Services, have a large group of very talented individuals who have been working on a number of related smart city applications and open data initiatives such as civic apps you've probably heard about, or Safe Routes to School, PDX Reporter, Waterworks, just to name a few. And we can leverage that talent to work within this framework and collaborate with a wider spectrum of bureaus. And I want to specifically thank Kevin for his leadership and efforts to coordinate this, and also Director Treat to support the transportation initiative, and also with BPS as well. And we look forward to providing our continued involvement in helping Portland continue to progress on being a smart city, a smart community. And with that, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity and to provide our support for this, and look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that, I want to invite up Julie Omelchek from the Office for Community Technology.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm Julie Omelchek, Program Manager with the Office for Community Technology, and we, too, are very pleased to be part of this resolution today. As you know, video, Internet of Things, and now smart cities applications have all driven the need for robust wireless and broadband infrastructure available to all. With Council's leadership, the Office for Community Technology has an extended history and deep knowledge of shepherding use by communications companies of the city's rights-of-way and public access for public good. As the lead city office for both the Portland Broadband Strategic Plan and the Digital Equity Action Plan, OCT is pleased to be part of this Smart City Steering Committee and wholeheartedly supports passage of this resolution. We look forward to continue working with other lead city bureaus on the Smart City challenges and initiatives. And I, too, would like to thank Kevin Martin for his leadership in this area and councils as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your service.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to do a quick presentation, just give a high-level overview of sort of where the city is with smart cities and kind of the role of this steering committee. I'm going to switch seats so I can run the computer over there. Thank you, Carla. So the first question is, what is a smart city? And the definition we've given people is, it's one where data and technology are used to improve people's lives. And really, Portland from the beginning has focused on improving the lives of those in underserved communities. And really starting to think through how we can use these opportunities around technology and data to correct some of the inequities that are there now, to even out some of our infrastructure investments, and to really start bringing services and information to the people that need it most, where it will have the most impact on their lives. And I think that's something that's really set Portland apart from a lot of other cities, is that focus on equity and the focus on that, on the community. And that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to be a part of this effort. What types of technology and data are we talking about? It's not 100% clear what makes a technology smart, but I think we have a pretty good idea of what that bucket includes. As Director Treat mentioned, autonomous vehicles is obviously a big part of this. It's a very disruptive technology that is coming, whether we want it to or not. connected vehicles and the infrastructure that's going to be needed there in terms of connectivity and infrastructure on our streetlights and signals to facilitate those vehicles moving through our right-of-way is a huge component of this work moving forward. We have an open data program now that was adopted here at City Council back on May 5th. We definitely see that as falling under the Smart Cities umbrella, how we make data more accessible to the community, how we make it more accessible to city staff, how we make it more accessible to you all in terms of informing your decision-making. Internet of Things, they're predicting, I think, 50 billion internet-connected devices by 2030. How we use those as a city and how we really think through the implications of just a greatly increased system for data collection and protect our citizens' our residents' privacy and use that information to meet our city goals, I think is obviously a huge part of this conversation. Public Wi-Fi and how we bring connectivity to people that don't have it now, that may have a smartphone but don't have a data plan or don't have internet access in their home. That's a piece of this. Systems and apps to integrate civic services, so things like TriMet's mod sandbox that they're working on that will integrate different transit choices and transportation choices into a single application that people can use to get from point A to point B. Kiosks and street-level engagement with our residents and what kind of services we bring to the street using those kinds of devices. Tools to integrate and analyze data and inform our decisions. I think all of these things are sort of what we're talking about when we're talking about smart cities. I call this graphic the flower of opportunity. It just sort of indicates that when we're talking about data and technology, all these different realms overlap, and there's a lot of shared goals. And you know, as you get to the center of this graphic, you start looking at maybe perhaps a single technology that can meet the goals of our transportation goals, our housing goals, our equity goals, our public safety goals. Really finding those synergies is one of the reasons we want to set up the Smart City Steering Committee, so that we have a place for that high level coordination. Transportation is driving a lot of things right now for all the reasons that Director Treat mentioned. One of the big ones is that we went after the $50 million U.S. Department of Transportation grant a little over a year ago. We didn't end up getting that money. Columbus, Ohio did. We can all theorize as to the reasons why. But I think what's interesting is that Portland continues to be looked at as a leader, including by Columbus. And folks are looking at Portland to kind of guide how other cities govern smart cities and what they do with these technologies and how they prepare for these technologies. Really, our goal is ultimately to broaden beyond transportation to housing, land use, emergency management, et cetera. When you look at some of the things we're talking about, autonomous vehicles, I'll come back to again and again because I think that's, again, a very disruptive technology. The conversation really isn't about if, but when and how that's going to be implemented. It touches on transportation, obviously, but there's huge implications to housing as you start looking at a world where there is greatly fewer parking spaces needed. As we look at a world where people are much easily and more cheaply able to get from point A to point B and how that sort of interacts with our transit system, there's land use implications, there's housing implications, there's certainly safety implications, there's emergency management implications. So autonomous vehicles touches on everything. And it's really on us as a city, I think, to figure out how we're going to guide these technologies that are coming, whether we like them to or not, to meet our city goals.
So I'm just wondering,
sure,
the fact that transportation, land use, and to a separate, a lesser extent, emergency management are all bolded there, but equity, housing, and public safety are kind of pale.
Yeah.
Does that reflect the intended direction of this?
It doesn't. That's just choices by the graphic designer who made the graphic. There's a couple of things that will change about this graphic over time, that being one of them, and also that I think equity, it is sort of a separate piece, but it's also something that should be involved with all of these realms. So it's not only do we have goals that are sort of specific around equity, but we want to look at all of these realms, transportation, land use, through an equity lens. So it's really integrated into everything.
And I'm also not seeing anything about community engagement. I'll have some more questions about that later, but yeah. It seems like the intent initially is to have just the internal staff working on this. Is that correct?
No. Well, I think where we have been to date is really focused pretty internally, but we're now starting to pivot to how we bring this to the community and really how do we involve the community in the decisions that we make going forward, and really how do we start to get a better handle on what the community needs are. When we start talking about things like autonomous vehicles and first last mile, how do we know that we are really targeting these things to meet the needs of the community? And I think there's a huge community engagement piece around that.
Thank you.
If I could comment on that, we don't have our internal house in order yet. And so the focus of this particular part of the process really is, in my mind, it's internal. It's making sure that we have our bureau infrastructure integrated and working together on the same goals, sharing the opportunities around the technology, identifying the technology and where the opportunities are. And so having that platform in place, I think, is an essential ingredient before we even begin to talk about how best to engage the community. That, to me, is while it is certainly related, and this tees up the beginning of that process, this really is, I believe, the major thrust is internal.
I think that's exactly right. You're exactly right. It's getting our internal house in order so that we can begin that larger community process. And really, by creating this platform and this committee, I think we sort of, you know, solved two problems. We get our internal house in order, and we also have a platform for those larger community discussions and for partnerships with the private sector and academia and nonprofits.
This in and of itself is not the community engagement plan around smart cities.
It's not.
I want to be very clear about
that. The steering committee would hopefully be involved with drafting that plan, but it isn't. Yes, this is not the community engagement piece of our smart cities work.
Well, I would suggest that including at least some of the committees or commissions that we've got at early in the start to help figure that out. When we set up the Office of Equity and Human Rights, we started with a huge community engagement process, which then told us focus internally. But that was only once everybody had come to the conclusion of what is the challenges. So, for instance, the Public Engagement Advisory Committee, the Portland Commission on Disability, the New Portlanders Policy Council, Open Signal. It seems like all those communities, but some of those are mixed city staff and community. But all of them, I would suggest, need to have input into what should we work on, not just on how should we work on it.
Yeah, I agree. So this next graphic sort of starts to get at sort of that outside coordination a little bit. With the city of Portland at the top and academia, nonprofit, other governments, and the private sector, we know that the smart cities work is going to require coordination and partnerships with external entities. We don't build technology in the city. We need the private sector. We need to leverage their technologies. We don't really have the internal research capacity that they do at, say, Portland State University, who we have a very strong partnership. And so really figuring out how we leverage those partnerships. We need community groups and other nonprofits to engage the community and assess their needs. And everyone sort of needs us, the city. The city has a lot of leverage in these conversations. Many of these technologies are emerging, and the private sector is really trying to be first out of the gate. And to be successful in their endeavors, they need access to our city infrastructure, so our streetlights, our signals, our right-of-way. And so the city has a lot of leverage to drive this conversation. And ultimately, it's us that represents the community's interests. And I think, you know, again, we have sort of a window of opportunity, I think, over the next 3 to 5 years as some of these very quickly changing technologies and very disruptive technologies come online to really represent the community's interests and shape these things in a way that meets the community's needs. And so, I think the next 3 to 5 years is going to be a very exciting time in the city and in this realm, and I look forward to seeing what Portland does to really represent the community's interests. This is just a timeline we put together. I think you have a hard copy of it in front of you. I know it's very hard to read on the screen. But just to indicate that we've been doing this since 2014. Really, one of the first things the city was involved with was a partnership with the National Institute of Standards and Technology Global Cities Team Challenge, which we are still involved with. We have an expo in Washington, D.C. in August that we're participating in. That was way back in 2014, so this is not a really new conversation. Smart cities has been sort of on our tongues for a long time, and BPS has had a role in that. But everything changed really in December of 2015 with the US DOT Smart Cities Challenge. Putting that proposal together really brought together a whole bunch of pieces, both internally and externally. And really, it's that coordination that we want to build on with the steering committee. This is just a very partial list of things that are happening as we speak. As Director Treat mentioned, we've got a smart autonomous vehicles initiative, which will actually be in front of City Council next Wednesday. The work that PBOT is doing in this realm, really focusing on it from a policy perspective and how this will impact people's lives, rather than looking at it from sort of more of a technical perspective, is leading. And other cities are looking to us to see how we sort of roll out autonomous vehicles. So that's very exciting. Open data program I already mentioned. We've got an air quality sensor deployment that BPS is leading. Christine Kendrick on my team, who has her PhD out of PSU and had done a lot of air quality work there. Smart connected air quality sensors, will be deploying 10 of those throughout the city as sort of a pilot test of that technology. We've got a regional smart cities action plan that we're working on in partnership with PBOT, PSU, Metro, TriMet, and ODOT to sort of set what the regional vision is. We've got a partnership with AT&T, GE, and Intel to potentially deploy some sensors to count pedestrians, look at pedestrian, where they are and how they're using our infrastructure. We've got a proposal in to develop a centralized data system for managing data that's coming from all these various devices and from autonomous vehicles. That's a partnership with PSU, BTS, and PBOT. We've got a pilot of a kiosk system that's meant to assist with folks after a disaster. That's a partnership with PBEM, BPS, PSU, and MIT. And
what does
MIT
PREP stand
is,
for?
What's that?
What does PREP stand for?
I don't know if that's an acronym. That's a good question. I think it's just preparation.
Okay.
It's really interesting. There's a lot of opportunity. MIT is really interested in Portland being one of the first cities to deploy that technology, and they're very interested in our beacon sites, which I can't remember what that acronym stands for off the top of my head, but it's the places where people gather after a natural disaster. We're looking at a TGM grant, I think, that was on consent agenda today to develop our own City of Portland Smart Cities Plan with PBOT and BPS partnering on that. We're looking at a pilot of a sort of shared economy application in town called Josephine that allows home cooks to basically distribute meals. That's a partnership between BPS and the mayor's office, and was really focused on how do we start developing data sharing agreements with these sort of disruptive private technologies that allow the city to evaluate how they're impacting our residents and how the city can capitalize on that information to sort of meet our city goals. So that's all the stuff that's happening now. And because of that, we've evolved. So we've been doing this since 2014. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff now. We started uncoordinated and sort of reacting. I think right now we've gotten a lot more coordinated. We've got the bones of the steering committee together. We're all talking to one another. We've had a great last few months talking with BTS, PBOT, and BPS, really figuring out who's on first, who's leading what. I think we have a pretty admirable collaboration in place. So I think our level of coordination is actually sort of the envy of many other cities. We're still a little bit reactive. We're not really driving the conversation. We're still sort of reacting to it. I think over the next few months, that's really what we want to try to do with this committee, is really start to get out in front of, again, these potentially disruptive technologies. And what does it mean to be proactive? It means, you know, what are our assets? How ready are they for these technologies? How do we evaluate potential partnerships with the private sector and others? using RFIs and other means to gather information from the private sector so we know what's out there and we can sort of guide it into our own city goals, and then prioritizing work based on our city goals. Recognizing all throughout that technology is a means to the end, it's not the end itself, and so, you know, the driver in these conversations should be our city goals, not the technology, and really shaping that technology so that it helps us do what we want to do as a city and helps us become a better city. Again, we have leverage, and I think we have a 3 to 5 year window where cities are really going to be able to dictate how these technologies are deployed. And then finally, we've had some of you may have seen this graphic floating around. This is kind of our smart cities governance concept, how we're going to organize as a city. The steering committee is at the center, and then that steering committee is informed by all our guiding plans. That's the Portland Plan, Comprehensive Plan, Digital Equity Action Plan, Climate Action Plan, Transportation Systems Plan. How we use all those plans and the goals in those plans to inform our smart cities work, which should really be driven by those plans. Smart cities isn't a thing in and of itself. So it's really a means to meet our city goals with technology and data. How we
and if,
interact
if I
with,
could just interrupt for one second, I'm sorry to do that. No. But to Commissioner Frisch's suggestion, this is another great way to engage the communities that are already engaged around those
yeah.
plans, to put a ton of work into them and know them inside
exactly.
and out. So that's another good potential overlap with this process.
Yeah, really building on the work that we've done already and organizing it is key.
Yeah, it's not just the plan, not just what's on paper, but
right.
you guys have worked hard for years to build communities around the development of those plans, so let's leverage those communities.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I think BPS is leading this effort is, you know, the effort that went into, say, the Portland Plan and all the relationships that were built there and the community engagement. We want to build on that. And then we also have other committees that touch on this stuff in the city, like the Technology Executive Steering Committee. And we will have a strong relationship with that committee to make sure that we are looking at potentially enterprise technology solutions. We have a regional smart cities group, which is led by Portland State University, that we're involved with. There's a private smart cities lab led by the Technology Association of Oregon and Skip Newberry there that represents the local technology firms. We're heavily involved with that. And then we have the beginnings of a bunch of working groups around data analysis, sensors, and IoT, AV, autonomous vehicles, energy, public safety, and then civic platforms and apps where all these sort of projects live that will be organized underneath the steering committee.
So I'm also not seeing on there anything about equity. And where would the consideration for people with disabilities, which the working groups, would they be included in?
Again, and I think equity is sort of an ingrained piece in all of this, and perhaps we need to communicate that a little better in say, a graphic like this. But
Well, what we found when we were doing the Portland Plan and the Comprehensive Plan, yes, it's all encompassing. We want people to have it. But unless you've got a specific working group or include, you know, reminding everybody. That's
right.
Why we had a separate set of policies on equity as well as it being infused to the rest of the comprehensive plan.
Yeah. I think we need part of the task we'll have as a steering committee is to figure out how to address equity in our work. And so I don't think we have an answer yet, but I think that we want to make that a core piece of what we do and how that's sort of implemented. I mean, I've heard two different schools of thought that by sort of having a separate equity work group, it kind of puts it off on the side. We want it to be more ingrained in everything we do. And so, you know, maybe the question is how we engage those who are working on equity in the city in this steering committee, I think, is a good question.
Yes, I think so. And you started with, especially considering historically underserved communities,
right.
Knowing that our bureau directors don't reflect the demographics, our directors don't reflect the city we serve, and in fact worse than last year. How are you going to make sure that there are people from those historically underserved communities actually on the steering committee helping to guide what goes forward?
I think that's something that we need to figure out as a committee, how we're going to engage the community and really how we're going to potentially use new forms of data and information to kind of identify where that community is and what their needs are, I think, is part of the conversation as well.
Well, I think definitely on the New Portlanders and the other communities of color, but also especially for people with disabilities, the transportation aspects being at the top and in bold, that clearly affects people with disabilities a lot.
And if you, and I don't want to speak on behalf of transportation, but one of the first sort of use cases for autonomous vehicles is looking at paratransit, for example, which is very expensive. You know, how we initially address the needs of folks that say the existing bus services don't meet those needs, I think is perhaps one of the first use cases we want to address with things like automated vehicles and first mile, last mile solutions that they provide.
Well, knowing your director, Leah Treat, and her commitment, which she's demonstrated since she's become the director, I know you will continue to do that. I saw on the consent agenda today, I don't know whether it was one of the ones which was pulled, but there's a pilot of providing the Bike Town program to people with disabilities, and so I was really happy to see that. I just, again, if we don't call it out, it's liable to get missed, or we're liable to include people when it's really too late for them to engage and direct things.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. So that's all I had to say.
Mayor, I have a couple questions.
Fish,
could we ask Leah to come back? So I have three questions. Thank you for your presentation.
Sure.
The first is, look forward 10 years. And we've talked about getting in front of disruptive technology. We've talked about harnessing new technologies. These are all very high-level concepts. How will any of this benefit the average person living in our community in 10 years?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different theories. The hope that people are attached to is that, at least from the transportation perspective, if we look at autonomous vehicles, in a 10-year time frame, perhaps we'll get to congestion relief. Because it's going to take some time for people to give up their personal vehicles, and that's going to be a generational change. So you'll start seeing that happen over the next 10 years. Autonomous vehicles, hopefully, are going to be safer because they are not impaired, they're not speeding, and they follow all the traffic laws. We also hope that autonomous vehicles are going to be providing mobility solutions for people in underserved areas who have lack of transit-rich environment, et cetera. So that's what we hope to see over the next 10 years, and why the private sector is investing so heavily in this is that's the aim. I personally, my sentiment or thought is it's going to take probably 15 years till we hit that tipping point, or perhaps more. It's also going to greatly impact our infrastructure. Transportation in the next 10 to 20 years, our largest funding source, in addition to the gas tax, is parking revenue. And autonomous vehicles or any kind of autonomous mobility solutions have the possibility to greatly carve into parking revenue because it won't be necessary anymore. So we need to be thinking extensively about how we're going to fund transportation infrastructure as we think about these disruptive technologies that are coming.
So that's helpful. And I think we ought to continue to work to be able to describe this as and the community benefits in plain English, because I think when we start using terms like smart cities, I think it excludes most people.
Yeah.
And the assumption is that any questions you have about it means you're part of the dumb cities movement, right, as opposed to understanding what is a smart city and how does it actually benefit a person.
Yeah.
Because at my prism and all this stuff is how is someone who lives here benefited from this?
Right.
Not how do we leverage technology per se, but how does that improve the quality of life of someone who lives here?
That's really
the second question I have is, because your presentation talks so much about disruptive technology, I'm obliged to just note that the last time someone came into Portland with a so-called disruptive technology, it was Uber. And the track record of Uber is they came in and ran over regulators and ran over consumers. What assurances do we have through this process, particularly with companies like Uber and others looking at autonomous vehicles, that we're going to be regulating ahead of the curve and not dealing with rogue actors?
Quite frankly, we don't have those assurances in place. Uber and Lyft, the TNC market is linked up with the big auto industry. So Ford, GM, and BMW are the three largest financial backers of the autonomous vehicle initiative, and they are linked up with Uber and Lyft, and they are working very hard at the federal level to get federal preemption, so even states could not regulate their own markets, much less they're also working at the state level to try to preempt at the state level for localities to have local regulation. So it's something that we really need to stay on top of and be mindful of.
So since you mentioned that, we did as a council oppose Uber's effort to preempt all local regulations of TNCs. Is there something in this legislative session that has been filed which would preempt cities and localities from regulating autonomous vehicles?
Yes, there has, and it failed.
Okay, good. So when you say that there'll be an effort to preempt at the federal and state level, we know these large companies are very successful at doing that. And we also know that one of the primary drivers that we're hearing about with this technology is that by taking a driver out of the car, they lower their costs. That's not just disruptive. That may actually be catastrophic to the workplace, and there also raises, in my mind, safety issues. Do we have the authority to mandate that even with autonomous vehicles, there be a driver?
There's nothing that precludes a local government to stipulate that in our code. I think that's a question for the attorneys that can tell you it doesn't exist now.
So, Mayor, I'm going to, looking at what is happening in Singapore and other places where these companies have come in a very aggressive timeline to put autonomous in and then promptly move to driverless. I think, and given our experience with Uber and the way they push the envelope, I think I would ask that be addressed at the front end of this process. And my sense is that if we're very assertive and aggressive about requiring a driver in an autonomous vehicle early on, at least we have the leverage to make sure that we get it right as it unfolds. And so that's my third point. And my final point I just want to acknowledge is that your steering committee contains government agencies, utilities companies, and I know, you know, it has TriMet, that makes sense, PGE, Daimler, that makes sense. I'm assuming they're going to be doing autonomous trucks. Uber, is are Lyft and taxis on that steering committee?
No.
So why have we chosen the worst actor in the industry to be on the steering committee and not Lyft or taxis?
So the steering committee is just made up of internal staff. We have relationships with outside committees like the Regional Smart Cities Group and the Private Smart Cities Lab where those folks are participating. But our steering committee is really meant to be an internal place for coordination. And so currently it involves BPS, PBOT, PBEM, OCT, BTS, the Prosper Portland, the Portland Housing Bureau, representatives from the mayor's office, representatives from Commissioner Saltzman's office, and representatives from Commissioner Udaley's office. And we hope to expand that to include other folks in the city as well. But for now, the steering committee is an internal.
Okay, so we're doing this in phases. Do I have your assurance that when you are engaging external stakeholders, both Lyft and traditional taxis will be given the same standing as Uber as part of a stakeholder process?
I think that's the intention,
But sir, it's an easy question.
Yes.
Good intentions. Is that a yes or a no?
That's yes.
Okay. And so, Mayor, I'll be looking to see. I would hope we would publish a list at the appropriate time that has all the stakeholders, and I would like to
agreed.
See the taxi industry given full standing. And I would also, frankly, I don't use Uber for all the obvious reasons. I have started using Lyft, particularly when. I have no other option,
right.
And I have found them reliable and professional. And frankly, their business practices, to me, are discernibly different than Uber.
Yeah.
But I think they all need to be at the table if we're going to get this right.
Yeah, and I think just briefly, one of the first tasks of the steering committee is to lay out sort of what we're calling a playbook. Other cities have done this as well. And that's really how do we lay out sort of the lanes for the private sector to engage with the city, and how do we make it consistent and vendor agnostic so that everybody has the same opportunity and we're consistent with our engagement with the various private sector players, and we've let them know, okay, if you want to work with the city, here's what our goals are, here's what we want to accomplish, here's how you engage with us. And I also think, just wanted to reiterate your point, these technologies, again, are coming whether we want them to or not. If we do nothing, there are potentially very negative implications to some of these technologies, like autonomous vehicles. We could see significant increases in vehicle trips, and we could see significant decreases in transit ridership, for example, and how we as a city really lay down the policies. And that's where I think PBOT is doing such innovative work to sort of prevent the dystopian future that you know could be a possibility if we do nothing. So I think looking at this from some of these outcomes can be negative. If the city is not proactive, is a place that we're really wanting the steering committee to come from.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
May I?
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And I want to pick up on one of Commissioner Fisher's first points, which was about the value to the community member. Commissioner Udaly is out of the country on city business, but if she was here, I'm sure she would express concern about the capacity of the one city staff person who is responsible for talking to people in the community about equity, which is Ashley Horn, in her leadership staffing of the Public Involvement Advisory Committee. So I'm concerned about, I didn't see either the Office of Neighbourhood Involvement or the Office of Equity and Human Rights on any of those, here's the projects we're doing.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good feedback. I think our intentions are there, and we have failed to communicate it in our graphics and our presentation, so thank you, and we will expand upon that.
Well, if it is supposed to be just city staff, I guess my point is I don't think Ashley has any more capacity to attend to another major project. So I would encourage you to broaden the steering committee to include community members who can provide a perspective that, to my knowledge, there aren't people in the city, and if there are, they're already overtaxed and can't possibly add this major thing. The other thing I wanted to pick up from what Commissioner Fish talked about was just considering what are the long-term impacts, and I'm thinking particularly of isolation, where I can foresee if some of this technology keeps coming down the line, a person won't be able to talk to another person all day unless they happen to have a cell phone and they want to engage because it's all on Facebook and, you know, order your taxi or your autonomous vehicle remotely, or do your groceries delivered to your door by somebody, or maybe even by a robot. We've got to be thinking about how we're going to keep a sense of community, and how, while we want to broaden the folks who give us input and are involved in our community decisions, how do we make sure that there's occasionally time for people to interact with another human being?
Yeah.
So I'd urge you to make sure that that is part of the steering committee's charge. And then secondly, again, from Commissioner Fish, looking at the jobs that could be lost, and how are we going to make sure that, like clean energy, there are more jobs in clean energy than there are in coal, for example. How do we address the fact that some of these proposals will put people out of work, and what are they going to do, especially if they're in a more practical, hands-on job rather than something that requires a four-year degree?
Agreed.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Any further questions? And you don't have any other invited panel guests, is that my understanding? Correct. How many people are signed up for public testimony, Carla?
We have 8.
We have 8. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the first 3, please come on up, are Samuel Pastrick, Leif Hansen, and Carol Studemund.
Good morning. And just to review, 3 minutes, 2.5 in, the yellow light blinks, 3 minutes in, the red light goes crazy. All testimony must be related to the matter before us. Thank you.
I should be able to hit 2 minutes on the head.
Perfect. Go for it. And
Good
name for the record, sorry.
My name is Sam Pastrick. I'm a consumer advocate with Oregon Citizens Utility Board. And I'm here today to encourage adoption of the resolution to establish a smart city steering committee. CUB is a utility customer advocate that works in the utility regulation arena and at federal, state, and local legislative levels on energy and telecom issues. Also, as you folks know, in 2014, Council invited CUB to serve as an independent and outside advocate for the city's public utility customers. CUB is also an active player in the Digital Inclusion Network, which is housed at the Office for Community Technology. I actually testified before council in support of the Digital Equity Action Plan, or the DEAP, and pushed for open data language in the latest comp plan. On this, we were certainly heartened and pleased to see last month's open data ordinance. Last November, I presented an analysis expressing our concern, CUB's concern, with the city's approach to information and communications technology policy development, implementation, and oversight within the current governance structure. Among other options, that report suggested moving the non-revenue collection functions of OCT, that's the Office for Community Technology, into the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This is why I'm so eager to convey our support for today's resolution, because it really speaks to BPS's unique expertise within the city and their commitment to reasserting Portland as a national leader in developing good public interest policy to underpin innovative or cutting-edge smart cities work. I want to make three additional points. The first is that I'm, of course, pleased to see that OCT has a role on the steering committee, and that Julie Olmachuk was included this morning on the presenting panel. Their involvement, OCT's involvement, really, in CUB's opinion, is imperative. I am, however, still deeply concerned with their low standing within the city's current governance structure. In fact, this point is the central thesis of our November paper, and a forthcoming memo that we are preparing with our friends at the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission, or MHCRC. So you folks should look for that memo soon. Finally, I also urge Council and BPS to consider input from MHCRC on the proposed steering committee and any future smart cities work. In closing, really, CUB does applaud BPS's leadership and supports the committee approach because we believe that it will provide a sorely needed forum to facilitate governance structure decisions aimed at building the best team possible to ensure future policy advances in this area. Thank you for your time and consideration, and of course, I'm happy to answer any clarifying questions.
Thank you. I'll just make a statement. I welcome your recommendations with regard to OCT.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it very much. Commissioner Fritz?
I do believe we'll have Council's agreement with my amendment to have a budget note to say that there's not going to be an external evaluation of where it best resides, so I appreciate
you,
your support
Fritz.
For that.
Good morning.
Good morning. Lee Hansen from the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. MHCRC. Along with our colleagues at CUB, we're excited about and encourage the Council to adopt the resolution to establish a Smart Cities Steering Committee. As you know, the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission negotiates and enforces cable franchise agreements, manages the public benefit resources and assets derived from the franchises, and advocates on behalf of the public interest on communication issues at local, state, and federal levels. We serve the communities, residents, and local governments of Fairview, Gresham, Portland, Troutdale, and Wood Village, and Multnomah County. We contract with the City of Portland for our administrative and technical staff in the Office of Community Technology. That office also houses Portland's energy and utility franchising. We manage a considerable asset base on behalf of our jurisdictions, including the cable franchises, contracts with community access providers, and a 321-site institutional network that supports low-cost, high-capacity network services for public buildings and other technical functions throughout Multnomah County. Our team members at the Office for Community Technology manage a similarly valuable asset base via the energy and other utility franchises that they negotiate and manage. As the policy and technology landscape rapidly evolves, it's clear to us at MHCRC that the role and interaction between us and other city functions is increasingly critical. It's hard to imagine a smart cities initiative that does not integrate all of these functions, including those supported by MHCRC, and we're gratified that OCT is included as a key partner in the resolution. As Sam indicated, we will be following up with a joint CUB-MHCRC memo outlining our mutual and strongly felt concerns about OCT's structural placement within the city, particularly in light of the centrality of the assets that they manage and the expertise and experience they bring to the Smart Cities Initiative. We hope to engage in further discussion with Council on this topic. And again, thank you for the foresight in adopting the resolution that anticipates the convergence of urban planning, energy, transportation, and technology.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Carol Studenman. I'm currently the chair of the MHCRC, and I'm also the Multnomah County representative on the commission. The one thing I would like to add to Leif's comments is that the full membership of the MHCRC has expressed their support for this Smart Cities Initiative. and the full membership is in agreement with CUB and our MHCRC colleagues representing Portland that the placement of OCT is not conducive to OCT's current work or the kind of creative, collaborative effort that will be essential to the Smart Cities Initiative. We look forward to your thoughts on the forthcoming memo referenced by Sam and Leaf. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, when can we look forward to receiving that?
I would say by early next week at the latest.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Perhaps earlier.
That. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three, please.
Are Shedrick Wilkins, Mimi Gurman, and Star Stauffer.
Morning.
Good morning. Again, I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and about Intel and self-driving cars, I think computers should assist your driving but not control your driving. I like Multnomah County. When I was graduated from PSU, the internet hadn't gone, but I liked the internet. Comcast, high speed stuff. Wikipedia is an updated encyclopedia system. Everything I say is printed out there. I don't know if that's voice recognition, but that's great stuff. This is a smart city, okay? And if Washington County wants to have self-driving cars fly around hitting people, that's their problem, not my problem. And, you know, if you're driving a car, you're held responsible. So you want to be kind of safe. So it's all right if these things are used to, like, slow the car down, but I'm not here to have cars driven. The airline industry, and in the military, they have smart bombs that fly. You know, they're the ones that pioneered this kind of stuff. But there's no planes flying around here without a pilot. Pilots have to deal with sick passengers. They have to deal with fuel consumption. They have to deal, some pilots gun the runway. Air traffic controllers have to deal with people and stuff like that.
Well, Senator, can I just make a comment? In planes that have technology, a pilot can put it on automatic pilot, but you still have a pilot in the cockpit getting ready to override if necessary or make adjustments. So you keep the human element. Which is why, after all, a certain United airplane landed safely in the Hudson River. Without the human element, the plane cannot actually manage those kinds of challenges.
There was a 1993 experience. In 1993, IBM in the early 70s designed an air traffic control system that basically just sets off an alarm with basic computer chips at the time and says two planes are getting close to one another. And IBM insisted that there be an air traffic controller there. In 1993, Intel put one in Denver, Colorado, the talks and stuff. The thing went down for 5 minutes, and because of Intel, there was no air traffic control system over Denver, Colorado.
Thank you.
Can I take his remaining time?
No.
My name is Mimi Gurman, and I would like to say that I find the name of this offensive, and I find it something to elevate Portland as a place that has a smart city, when, in fact, our city lobbed this at kids' heads on Sunday. This hit this child's head by the police on Sunday, but we're promoting a smart city. I take issue with the name. I think it's propaganda. We need to stop with the propaganda in our city. Portland has a lot of problems. Racism at its front end. This is for racism. It hit a black child in the face twice, two of these. There's still black dust from these. What the hell is this?
So,
in a smart city.
Ms. Gurman, please, are you going to respond to what I'm saying? It's not about policing. There will be a time and a place for that. Right now we're talking about the Smart Cities
Initiative.
And the name came from the federal government. It came from Transportation Secretary Fox, who created the program under the Obama administration.
A smart city is one where data and technology are used to improve people's lives, especially those in historically underserved communities. This is propaganda. I won't have it in this city without at least being able, like I am right now, to stand up against this. My friend got shot in the mouth on Sunday with a tear gas canister from the police in this smart city. This is propaganda. All I'm saying is I'm addressing the title, I'm addressing the name of this entire program, Smart City, the city that works. Propaganda. Enough with the propaganda. If you guys really want to get real about being a smart city, you'll start to accept what we're saying. Until you deal with getting rid of Chief Marshman, who lied on OPB yesterday for 15 minutes, and the cops came out and said, hey, we decided not to talk to you about what we did because there's chaos in the police ranks, because you're in charge and you don't know. This happens. Where would you be today if this little girl who got hit with two of these was killed on Sunday? We wouldn't be talking about a smart city today or the need for $4 million more in target practice worth of bullets for the police.
Mimi, I have questions about Sunday, but again, this is not
smart
the time.
City.
This is about
it's propaganda. It has nothing to do with the technology. What it does have to do with is, like Amanda Fritz said, where is the community involvement in this? Where's the black community involvement with this? Where are they saying, well, underserved neighborhoods? Who is representative of that? Propaganda needs to stop in Portland. Either we're going to become a good place to live or we're not. Stop lying about it.
Thank you. Good morning.
I have something extremely important. I'm Star Stoffer. In regards to technology and the way that we use it for public safety, I want to let you in on a little something that came upon me Sunday morning when Sergeant Nia texted me at home to tell me that his commitment was to arrest any alt-righters that tried to cross into Chapman. Then I watched as the Portland police, who clearly disobeyed the orders or pretended they had no knowledge, allowed these people into the park where we were anyway. I saw them abuse, scream, and shove women and young people who were trying to say, these people shouldn't be over here. They're dangerous. If we're going to talk about smart cities and technology and historically underserved communities, which AKA black people, AKA brown people, AKA Muslim people, AKA women, AKA disabled, AKA houseless, then you absolutely have to talk about all aspects of the safety that you're speaking about in regards to those communities. You don't get to cherry pick which things you speak about in regards to safety for those communities. On Sunday, one of your police officers shot me in the face with a little tear gas bullet. I have it. It is intact. If that thing had gone into my throat, if I didn't have a bandana and a gas mask shielding my mouth, I would be dead right now. And you're nothing but proud of the Portland police. I watched officers with no change of facial expression shoot in the back children that were trying to climb out of the parking garage. One of them had urinated himself. He was so afraid. And they shot him multiple times in the back until they fell. So don't sit up here with all your whiteness and all your privilege and your removed sense of self and relationship to this community and tell me or her or anybody sitting in the back that what we're talking about is something you have interest in. If you have interest in it, then you should set some time aside right now. Quit playing us with your words and do something meaningful. If you're interested, we're all sitting right here. What the hell's stopping you? This just happened. You don't get to determine as the aggressor when the victims of that aggression speak out against it.
Oh, listen, as the presiding, excuse me.
You will
excuse
listen to me once in a while.
Excuse me. This is not the time
you.
Or the place.
Your
my job is,
me
excuse
face.
Me.
I'll sit down.
Yeah, give me my fucking exclusion paper then. I'm going to get my backpack. Where's the paper?
Let her get her backpack.
Yeah, touch me.
Next three, please.
The next two are Lenita James and Stan Schaefer.
Shame on all of you. You're all fucking cowards.
Good morning. And listen, folks, as the presiding officer, it is my responsibility. It is my responsibility to enforce council rules.
Fuck you, Wheeler!
You don't have to agree, but those are the rules.
Nazi cops, fire them! Shot me in the fucking face! He didn't throw me out yet.
Fire Captain Krieger,
Ted! He didn't throw me out yet.
Let them stay.
Fire your Nazi cops!
I said fire Captain Krieger!
All right, folks, we're going to take a recess. We are going to take a resource. We will be reconvening in 10 minutes. Thank you. No, I'm not running away. I'm de-escalating.
Do you want us to go?
Yeah. Unless, are people ready to hear? Are people ready to hear? Okay, let's sit down. Let's reconvene. Folks, we will reconvene, but listen, it's my job to enforce the